Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Big hour on tap. 15 minutes tonight's Major League Baseball card. Bottom of the hour, Kevin Rogers joins the program. We'll get into the Hall of Fame game as well in about 15, 20 minutes. Rogers has great numbers on Major League Baseball this year, and he's got one of the most incredible stats I've heard to date this season, and it's available at least one different national sports book. He tracks everything in this sport. Here's your breaking news. National Football League, three-time Pro Bowler already, Jahmyr Gibbs has inked a deal with the Lions, 3 years, $67.5 million. Could be worth up to $75.75 million, includes a $51.5 million guarantee. So this comes a few days after Bijan Robinson turned into the highest-paid running back of all time. Now that is Jahmyr Gibbs. They were both hold-ins, and it was going to go, like, whichever running back got the money first, you knew that the other guy was going to up. That's the way it works. It's an ego game, and both guys, you know, in this day and age, they deserve it because they're more than running backs. And you've seen that with Robinson in the past. You've seen it with Gibbs, but also he had a split time with Montgomery. They lose him to the Texans this year. But Gibbs is also like an elite catcher of the ball out of the backfield. So I could not be higher on a single player this year than I am on Jahmyr Gibbs. It's unfortunate that his numbers are baked in because of the schedule and the offense. If you missed this earlier, by the way, Sal Palantonio on the program, and the one team that he said that he is absolutely bullish on this year, it's Detroit. Right there with him.
So he also had Taylor with a $44 million extension earlier today. Gibbs says, I haven't played my best ball yet, and I could have done more. This is also huge for fantasy football. He's expected to go number one in most leagues. Now you don't have to worry about that because he won't, even though he was a hold in, the contract situation's taken care of.
Yep.
And all that money guaranteed. Other than the schedule, why else are you higher? You get the new offensive coordinator coming in from Arizona. I do not like the Pacheco move. I think he's cooked. But again, I guess just give me a larger dose of Gibbs then. As you pointed out, they lost Montgomery. How about Dan Campbell, 25-1 coach of the year?
I could get on board with that. It's a very difficult market to bet, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
But I do like the guy. He does get a little wonky during some of the games in big spots, but I think he's done a great job here. That'll continue this year. And they've also been really banged up over the years. But when Aiden Hutchinson is healthy, you have one of the best defensive players in the entire league as well. I'm not really bothered by the thing that happened to Terrion Arnold on the field because he was kind of a negative player anyway. But when you look overall at the schedule, look at how, I mean, where they're playing these teams also should matter. Like, they get the Saints in week one. They're at Buffalo. So they play in upstate New York, obviously, right away. The weather's going to be perfect. At Carolina in October.
12-1, highest scoring game of the month, I bet.
You found highest scoring game of the month?
Yeah. Last time they played, it was 48-42.
Oh, what book is that at?
That's Caesars and Will Hill.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, isn't that cool? September special that's under.
Oh, I'd love that find out of you.
Yeah.
Wow, do you know other games that were like on the board next to it? Actually, Detroit, New Orleans might have been there. That could be a high scoring game.
Yes, I'll see the odds on that too. You're right.
That's 12-1. What's the total going to be? 55?
Kidding. 22-1 is Saints Lions.
That could be some fireworks as well. But look at how, I mean, again, the road games at Miami in November. They're at Atlanta, Dome, at Minnesota, Dome. They do close the final 2 weeks of the season at Chicago and at Green Bay. So obviously those are going to be outdoor. But other than that, I mean, it's a last place schedule, and this has now turned into a thing the last couple of years. When these teams have that easy of a schedule, and nothing is going to be as easy as New England last year, but look at how they took advantage of it. That has to be factored in. And I don't like the Packers this year. I got to be honest, I'm torn on Minnesota. I don't know what to do there. And as much as I want to love the Bears, they're due for regression, and their schedule is much more difficult in terms of opponents that they play.
A prop at Caesars, most rushing touchdowns. 17.5. This is total. He had 18 touchdowns last year, and now he's going to get a bigger increase in workload. How many touchdowns is he going to have if he had 18 last year and Montgomery's done, gone, left? And I don't think that Pacheco has much left. He's going to get the goal line carries, too.
Yeah, that's not going to be Goff. Like, right, his quarterback's not Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Steely, vulturing touchdowns at the goal line.
No vulture. He had 1,200 rushing, 600 receiving, 18 touchdowns. And now it's going to be a bigger workload. And plus you upgrade, you think, at OC.
Right. Now, we have been told in recent years that running backs basically cannot, they don't have a chance to win the MVP. But if ever a guy is going to put up numbers where, what about Gibbs this year? Like in December, I'm telling you, if he stays healthy the entire time and he plays in all 17 games, that you could throw at me 2,500 yards from scrimmage. You could throw at me 100 catches. You could throw 23 touchdowns my way. And I'd be like, yep, that's kind of what I anticipated. So offensive player of the year. But he's, Paul, I can't bet plus 650 offensive player of the year before the season starts. Just can't do it. I put him in some cross-sport parlays. But
my God.
Those are dangerous.
I was looking because you mentioned it. 120-1 MVP. The first 30 guys are quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Sure. I mean,
I know they win it every year, but you got to go down that far to scroll down to see the first non-quarterback what he is to win the MVP. That's
the thing. Like Jamar Chase, what if he wins? He's already...
Come on.
He has one triple crown, meaning he led the league in catches, yards, and touchdowns as a receiver already in his career. If he does that again this year, because the schedule sets up so well for the Bengals to actually, for him, and he won't get it though, because Burrow's going to get the credit. So a receiver can't.
Yeah.
And despite like guys in previous years having unbelievable seasons as running backs like Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry and Christian, no chance. Cannot win the award. And oh, by the way, those players, Henry, the year that he had 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns, I had him 500-1. Jonathan Taylor, the year that he was like had that 4-touchdown game at Buffalo, people were calling him the MVP of the league in December, had him 500-1. Running backs can't win, but yet Gibbs has been adjusted down to 120-1. How about that? Players in his same spot were 500-1 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. The other news is Brady wants to make sure Mendoza is ready before they put him in there. While you were out, Ryan Kramer gave out and bet Cousins to lead the league in interceptions. He doesn't think we'll see a lot of Mendoza this year. 100-1.
Well, I would say this. If that bet is trending his direction, meaning Cousins is leading with, like, let's say 11 at whatever point of the year, not going well for the Raiders, don't they say we've seen enough? Mendoza's got to get, we got to spend the number one pick on the guy overall?
Yeah.
I don't think the Raiders would allow Cousins to lead the league in INTs.
Yeah.
Because of Mendoza being the number one pick overall. That's a fun market to bet because you can get some bombs there. I've never won that market before, Paulie. But it's a fun one where you can kind of like make the case. You can go back and look at turnover-worthy plays from last year. Like who they're – maybe they lost a key receiver. The defenses that they're taking on, obviously, this upcoming season from a – passing like EPA and like yards allowed and how good they were overall on passing with their rankings, that can factor in, but it's tough to win.
It's 16.5.
Most INTs?
Most INTs for, yep. And then there's a couple good props up. Will a player have 3 interceptions in a game? No, minus 280. Most interceptions for a player all season, 8.5. Most sacks in a game, 4.5. 18.5 for the season.
Doesn't it feel like to get 5 sacks in a game, top of my head here, doesn't it feel like that's pretty difficult to pull off?
I would think you go over 18.5, though.
So would I.
Especially if Donald comes back and what Garrett can do.
Did you see that he's posted now for a comeback player of the year? 10-1 range, maybe a little bit below
that. It's that low?
Yep.
Oh, yep. Come on.
I know. I mean, you're not going to get 50-1 on him if he comes back. I would want more than 10-1 on him to win.
Yeah.
Who knows how many snaps the guy's going to play. Now, you want to try to find a winner there this year? There are some serious candidates as we get every single year for comeback player of the year. Mahomes is obviously the short shot. Don't you think Kyler Murray would be, if he, and evidently in camp, not going well for J.J. McCarthy? Who knows what to believe some of these reports? But if Murray plays the whole year, they're good. He's got the weapons. There's an angle there for Murray to win that award. Clearly, he's one of the short shots.
Donald's down to 9 at DraftKings.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah. I just, like, is he, give me the snap count for Donald on a game-by-game basis. Does he even touch 30? You got it. You got to,
yeah,
or
I know.
Because I would think he's been retired for a couple of years, so he doesn't have to put up defensive player of the year numbers, but you got to have an impact.
Isn't the one I would take this is Parsons. If he's out till week six, he's 14-1. He's not going to be there till week six, maybe, he said.
How much does this factor in, by the way? He was hurt in December.
Yeah.
Or does that mean nothing? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think that matters. I think it's okay. A little more concerned that I'm going to be out that long.
Yeah,
he's up against it.
He said that earlier this summer, like middle October is when you can see me. Yeah. I also, overall, and I told Femi this last night when I saw him at Naked City Pizza, mm-hmm. There was a big get-together for Bet Bash last night. I was driving over there and I heard Femi talk about the coach of the year market overall. It's not a fun one overall to bet into this year.
No, you got the Harbaugh crap right off the bat.
Right. They're all kind of stink bombs.
Yeah.
Like there's not a lot based on numbers overall and like who's going to get the credit. He brought up a good example was he brought up Ryan Schottenheimer. Well, if the Cowboys win 10, 11 games, but doesn't Dak get all the credit for that? And there are angles to that. Like, how much does the coach outweigh the quarterback?
Yeah.
You know? And what if we have three feel good stories again this year? Ben Johnson never had a chance last year.
Yeah, it's true. I know. Shanahan.
Yeah.
I could see Schottenheimer. It's not bad. But I think there's too much. The odds are too low with these guys. It's expected to come in and turn around a bad team.
Yeah, we'll talk Hall of Fame game coming up next. And again, some losers hurt much more than others. That's next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Breaking news in college football, the projected starting center for USC, Killian O'Connor, suffered an injury today in practice. Lincoln Riley announced that it will unfortunately end his season. That is some tough news, some bad news for USC. And one of the thoughts coming into the season was they had a lot of stability on the offensive line, and that takes a wrecking ball kind of to the middle and the anchor of that line for Lincoln Riley and his club. No good. A lot of positivity about that team on this network, by the way.
Yeah. Another case for the under. He has struggles on the road, huge injury, and the schedule's a bear.
It is a very difficult schedule.
Yep.
No doubt about that.
Look at this stretch. Oregon, Washington, at Penn State, at Wisconsin. Remember, he's bad on the road. Ohio State, Indiana.
That's very true.
Yep. I mean, I wouldn't mind that guy going to the NFL. And if there's one person who could say, I did not sign up for this, it's that guy. Because you thought you were going to come in and dominate the Pac, whatever it was at that time. And then you were this close to going to the playoff with Williams, and they mm-hmm. lost out here to Utah. And then it's, okay, well, now we're going to the
Would
the
you
Big
want him
Ten
as a,
now.
Would you want him as a head coach in the NFL? Would you want him as an OC?
In the right situation, yeah. I think it would work, sure.
I would want Lincoln Riley like in the Mike McDaniel role under Jim Harbaugh. Or Ben Johnson in Detroit first, see how it works, and then be like, okay, he has to get a job in the NFL. So let me throw this at you. Do you find it that some days with winning bets, or in this case, losing bets, some of them hurt more than others? Or is it all the same and you just...
No, some hurt more. Yes, absolutely. Some. Imagine if you had the Blue Jays today. Yes. Some hurt more than others.
That stings, right.
Are you talking bad beats or also how you handicap something?
I'm talking about a handicap that you thought really you had the beat. Yeah, you had it, and it just doesn't go your way.
Yes.
That stings a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. So with the in-pocket plays, which we're going to do coming up in about 30 minutes.
Or if you nail it in every which way but loose and have an unbelievable handicap, and then I should have put more on it.
Well,
because everything
true.
Played out to what I said and to a T.
True. So 2 days ago, I was 3-0 with the in-pocket plays in Major League Baseball. I had the Tigers on two bets, but they were both, like, these bets were both kind of simple handicaps. It's like Melton's been awesome. He's the best pitcher in baseball, almost basically, going back like the last couple of months. Offense is in high gear. Don't trust the Mariners at home. Offense stinks. I can get plus money. Bam. It's a bet. The other one was the Rays team total because they're playing at Coors. Kind of simple handicaps, right? They happen to all win. I was so like proud of the handicap yesterday with Drew Anderson to go over his K-prop. Talked about it many times. Had several bets on the guy yesterday. Laddered his K-prop. And just ran it down. This is why I like it. This is why I think the numbers, you got to take advantage of this right now in the start. It all makes too much sense. Put a lot of time into that one. And he goes out there and he pitches into the fourth, 3 2/3. He was really good. Not a single strikeout. I had to turn the game. I was watching the game here at Stadium Swim. Went over to Naked City last night. Like, I can't even watch this. This is despicable. This hurts. And with that bet and how it was talked about yesterday, and I also talked about it with friends off the air, I have gotten more messages about that losing bet than any winner or loser that I can recall in like recent weeks.
In terms of the negativity?
No, just like it sucks when that happens.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
you think that you have it lined up, the breakdown overall, and it just, you look like a dope.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun. I think I got...
It happened a couple months ago. Burns has been awesome for the Reds. And I don't know if he got the loss in that game. I don't think so. But I loved the Reds that day, and he didn't. He had nothing. And then the bullpen, they went out. I think they were like $1.40, $1.50 favorites. I think they lost a 12-2 or something.
Sure, sure.
I mean, he just didn't have anything, and everyone behind him was a gas can.
Yeah, yeah. And as I got to tell you, as like the three winners from the other night, the two on the Tigers were a rocking chair. As much as we like rocking chair winners, last night to lose like that, way worse. Much more of an impact negatively than like the positive impact that the winners had. It's not even close. I was thinking about it all night last night, and today I woke up, I'm like, did that really happen? Brutal, man.
No, there's several ways you can take that, the discussion, how what you're talking about, but there are more, some hurt more than others, but also how you handicap something that doesn't work out, or bad beats any which way. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you never gave me a chance. Just had zero strikeouts. So as for the games that we have coming up tonight.
They're already on Michaelis, by the way. Boy, well, oh boy.
Surprise, surprise.
Yep. Now, Sanchez, if you still want to jump it in play, I mean, this could be at Caesars -3.5 runs. It's like +160. But Sanchez, 9-1 at home with a 1-2-8 and 13 starts. Michaelis in his last 10 starts, an ERA of 8. It's already 1-0, the second and third one out.
Yeah, by the way, look who's up to no good again. It's Luis Arraez. No,
I like this lineup.
No good for the opposing team. I got to be honest.
Hitting them cleanup. What do you think?
I love the fact that he's hitting them cleanup.
Really?
You got table setters still. You can bet. And by the way, Schwarber's leadoff.
He's 0 for his last 18.
He's in a cold. He's absolutely in a slump right now.
But Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Arraez.
It took me a second, but I'm like, okay, my gut says that's a really good job by Mattingly. And he has an RBI double to begin the game already. Hit a home run right away last night in the game. I think that's a really good move. Baseball is not like, this never would have happened 20 years ago. 25, whatever you fill in the blank with how many years, but we never would have had Schwarber leading off, Aaron Judge batting second, any of this kind of stuff, Alvarez batting second, they all would have been number three or number four in the lineup, and Luis Arraez with his batting average and on base would have been like number one almost everywhere. Nope. So they are, what kind of Wheeler are we going to get for the rest of the season?
I think the guy we've seen that's been awesome and lights out. And that's the thing why they're going to be a problem in October. Look at the record when it's one of the big three. The record's where it's at because they're a joke when it's not one of the big three going. But you got to go Wheeler and Sanchez to start. Absolutely.
I think you got to go Lizardo too.
Yeah.
I don't think you can't go Nola third.
No. And a team that can hit, they're going to be a problem. And maybe your Cubbies are going to be a problem too. They had no business winning that game today. Down to their final strike, and now they're hot. The Dodgers have lost 6 in a row.
Yeah. They are going to be a problem. We bring this up, by the way, on the air, like the whole idea of that team getting Kevin Gausman. His problem has been kind of the defense behind him in Toronto.
Interesting. He said, please don't throw me today.
What'd you think of that?
Man, I understand it.
Against the former team?
Yeah, you don't want anything to do with it. That's okay.
If the balls are going to be in play, guess what? He goes to the best defense in baseball now, or one of. I mean, he's got PCA anchoring that outfield, and good luck getting anything by him. Mm-hmm. He's running away with how important like the WAR is on defense and whatever some of those advanced metrics are. Blanking on the defensive out save, not leading there, but the other one. Very good at that, obviously. The Tigers are leading 8-0.
This offense again.
Well,
you just chalk it up to Wu's unbelievable at home. I mean, there's nothing you can do. This is like 7 of 8. They've scored 8-plus runs.
I was going to say, like, nothing happened to the offense at the deadline. The offense, in theory, is going to be a problem for everybody else for the rest of the year. And they just brought up Max Clark. By the way, he's off to a nice start so far. One of their phenoms that they have. McGonigal in this game, 2 for 3 with 3 runs scored in a home run.
Nobody wants this. These teams aren't any good. It's wide open for that last. Again, there are 6 teams within a game of the final wild card spot.
So I think
Texas losing record. Cleveland losing record. They've lost 11 of 14. Seattle losing record. Major disappointment. Baltimore, okay, 3 games under 500. Twins, no way. Could get swept in Kansas City. And here's your Tigers. They're going to be 56 and 59 with a win.
You can still find them 8-1 or better to win the division.
Why not? Oh, the division. Okay, well, that's aggressive.
They're 4 back.
Yeah.
After winning today. To make the playoffs, they're down to plus 320. I actually still think that's worth a bet.
Yeah. So assuming the White Sox lose again tonight, because they're playing the Red Sox don't lose, then you'd be 3.5 back.
Yeah.
But that's a big problem with Chicago. 8 games under 500 on the road. Get them away from home, they got all their issues. I'm with you on the playoffs. No one wants this. These teams aren't any good. This is embarrassing for baseball, too. Are we going to have multiple teams make the playoffs with a losing record?
It was inevitable, though.
We only got 45 games left. Cashing out's back with the big man, Dustal Swedelson, back on Sunday. Once the primetime games wrap, the real breakdown just getting started. Best bets, key angles, plenty of home run props, real conversation, no fluff. Watch Cashing Out this Sunday, 10 Eastern, weeknights at 11, right here on VSiN.
I'm going to give him a shout-out right now. Mutual friend of ours, Point Shaver 13, Tony on X. He was all over the Tigers right before the deadline. And he was scooping up 15-1 to win the division, 10-1 to whatever, all of it. I have plus 850.
Did you look at the SOS, I have no problem. You definitely talked me into it with how bad these teams are.
You might be able to find, by the way, higher than plus 320 to make the playoffs. They might just make it by default. Kevin Rogers on the program, coming up next. He tracks all these stats in baseball. He's got one of the most incredible ones you're going to hear the entire year, and you can bet on it. Details on that coming up next. Got baseball here as Kevin Rogers joins the program. He's on the Progressive guest line. Follow him on X at Rogers Picks with Prize Picks. So he found a market at the beginning of the season. I'm going to say that this is the third incredible market that we've had on the show so far today. Your September special, highest scoring game in the NFL that month. You're on the Lions Bills at 12-1. Paul Stone found how many teams will have 6-plus regular season wins in the Pac-12.
Right.
And he bet that under at BetMGM. That's a great find by him. And Kevin, you've been tracking, explain this to us. It's something to do with Nick Martinez and the Rays, and it's absolutely astonishing.
Mitch, Paul, good to be on with you guys. And what I track from Hard Rock here in Florida is they have a prop for every baseball game. It's total pitches thrown. So every pitch thrown by every pitcher in any given game, and usually it's between like 280 and 310, depending on the teams and the pitchers and all that. So Nick Martinez of the Tampa Bay Rays, who doesn't walk a lot of batters, so doesn't throw a lot of pitches, because a lot of balls are put in play. He's made 22 starts this season. He is 21-1 to the under on the total pitches thrown prop so far this season. The one over came against the Marlins in an extra innings loss, a game that would have stayed under through 9 innings, but Tampa Bay tied the game in the 9th inning, and then the teams combined for 11 runs in the 10th inning. So obviously had a lot of pitches, a lot of runs scored. So Nick Martinez was that close to being 22-0 to the under on his total pitches thrown prop so far this season.
Okay, that is absolutely wild. So this is combined pitches, both teams, obviously. You've been tracking it all year. At the Hard Rock specifically, have you seen it like at any other sports book?
I have not. I've looked at DraftKings and FanDuel. I mean, I don't know if anybody else does offer it, but you would have thought maybe one of those two, since they're so popular, would offer it, but I did not see it there. And the Hard Rock, not to say I don't know why they do it, but I guess they found something that it worked out. And honestly, if you track it all the time, I know it's a big ask to do.
Yeah.
But really, I've seen you only have very few games that come within a few pitches of the total. You know, if the total's a 293.5, very few games land on 293 or 295. Usually, if it's like 293.5, it'll land on 270 or it would land on 310. It would be so far off. You just got to find the right pitchers. I don't really think the umpires, if you track the umpires too, if it really has a lot to do with it. But you could find these guys that don't throw a lot of pitches. And the other one I'll mention to you guys too, the Rockies. Everyone talks about them at home, all the runs scored, these crazy games. The Rockies are 44-14 to the under on their total pitches thrown prop at Coors Field this season.
How about that?
Great, another great find.
Now, like you said, this has got to be time consuming, obviously, right? Is there like a box score that you can find, total pitches overall? You got to do the math on this and just count them up from the relievers, the starters, the whole thing.
You go to like the ESPN.com and you could find the total pitches for each team and just add them up quickly. You know, or you can find some other sites. I think Baseball Savant has it too. I know in the MLB app, it makes it a little more difficult. You have to like do every single pitcher. They don't have the total for each team. But I know the ESPN, like on the website, you can go to the box score and they have them there. So it makes it easy to do. Yeah, it's a little bit time consuming, but it is worth it because you could find some good nuggets with it.
Oh, no doubt. So Jameson Taillon went yesterday. He has been a gas can as of late. How bad are we talking with him?
So he was with the Cubs most of the season. He got sent to Toronto, and they actually won that game yesterday against Houston. But before yesterday, he was 0-10-5 in the first five innings, and then he trailed 3-0 through the first five yesterday against Houston. And interestingly enough, the Blue Jays scored three in the top of the sixth to tie that game and then eventually won. But Jameson Taillon is the only pitcher in Major League Baseball with at least 10 starts this year that has not led through five innings.
Have you noticed what the opposing pitcher has been typically like in the first five against him?
As far as price, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it varies a bit. You know, if you were to look back, I mean, yesterday he was a heavy dog against Hunter Brown.
Right.
So, you know, that one you would have had to probably even lay like maybe minus 120 just on the half run through the first five. But at least I'm looking back at some of the pitchers he faced recently against Braxton Ashcraft of the Pirates. That was on the road. So, you know, I don't think he was that huge of a dog. But even at home against Detroit, he trailed. San Francisco was a push against the A's at home against Gage. Don't call me Gordon Jump, but he trailed in that one. So you could probably find some decent prices we'll see moving forward with him. But I think he'll be a huge dog just because now he's stuck on Toronto and the Blue Jays aren't very good.
How about a positive and a negative here with some first fives again? We were just talking about futures on Detroit. Seventh easiest remaining schedule. They've scored 8-plus runs in 7 of their last 8. How great have they been first five going back?
You know, Paul, they don't need Tarek Skubal or Casey Mize, apparently. Like, they're fine. They're 11-1-2 now in the first five innings after today, in the past 14 games in the first five innings. So they played really well in this road trip out west. I know the A's have been terrible and the Mariners have struggled, but they've gotten off to good starts, which has been, you know, positive for them, even though they're probably not going to make the playoffs. And on the flip side, Minnesota's at Kansas City tonight. Minnesota 0-6-1. In the first five innings in their past 7 games. They've been outscored 21-4 in that span. And Paulie, your favorite guy, remote controls in the mound tonight, Bailey Ken Ober. So we'll see if he could turn things around for them against the Royals.
Yeah. Well, not only the Tigers in the first five, but this thing with this Red Sox machine all of a sudden. Evidently, this is real. Not just a blip for like a month, hot streak for 6 weeks, whatever. Like, they might win the whole thing, I guess. But the American League take on the Dodgers, who knows? I mean, how good have they been in the first five as well?
Going back, Mitch, to June 23rd, when they score at least one run in the first five innings, 32 times, one run, 25-4-3. So basically, if the offense can just do a little bit, the pitching's been good. Like, you got to give them that Sonny Gray has been a fantastic pickup for them. Ranger Suarez has pitched well, and some of the other young lefties, basically a bunch of lefties and Sonny Gray in that rotation. But maybe the Alex Cora firing was the best thing for them, that they needed a new voice in there. It took a little bit of time, but this run is remarkable. I think what's even more remarkable is they're still in third place in that division behind the Rays and the Yankees, that they still have work to do. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, sitting in the playoffs, maybe they can make a run if they get into the postseason. But they just have started these games very well. And they got the A's this weekend. They could take advantage of that. The White Sox have struggled. They could win tonight. Then, you know, they'll keep making headway.
I can't wait to see what that series price is when they host the A's tomorrow. What do you have on the A's? Well, they've lost like 13 straight series, right? When's the last time they won a road series?
Last time they won a road series, of all teams, they won at Wrigley Field in early June. They took 2 of 3 from the Cubs, which is very weird.
Naturally.
And the last time they won a series overall didn't come in Sacramento. It didn't come in any team that has a major league team. Any city has a major league team. It came in Las Vegas against the Rockies. That was the last time they won a series. And that series, remember game 3, they gave 23 runs to the Rockies in the final one. So that's like their punctuation for the last time they won a series, which is amazing.
Oh, great stuff here. Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Kevin Rogers, follow him on X at Rogers Picks. He's with Prize Picks. How about some trendy K props right now, either under or over when they're facing, you know, the opposing team, and who's been good at that?
We got two of them, Mitch, going into tomorrow because these teams don't play today, but the Rangers and the Yankees to keep an eye on. First for Texas. I know they've been a bit of a disaster recently. I know they took 2 from San Francisco. It's not very good. But opposing starting pitchers last 37 games, and we're taking out openers. These are guys that are not guys pitching like one inning. Opposing starting pitchers last 37 against Texas, 29-8 to the under since June 22nd, including the last 9 lefties have all gone under. Wow. So Texas has done a good job not striking out against opposing starting pitchers. On the flip side, the Yankees, they strike out a lot. 9-1 to the over opposing starting pitchers on their K prop the last 10 against New York. And what's interesting is they were 9-0 going into yesterday, and it turned out that Pallante from the Cardinals finished 1 strikeout short. So they were that close to being 10-0. Now they face the Braves tomorrow. No pitcher listed yet, so we don't know who it's going to be. But, yeah, Yankees striking out a ton. Rangers have not struck out a lot lately.
Very good. Love the conversation. Is there a bet to be made on the schedule tonight for the remaining? I think we have, 4 more games coming up tonight?
No, I don't have anything crazy. The one I do like, though, is Walker Buehler under 3.5 strikeouts for the Padres. Arizona, second fewest strikeouts against opposing starting pitchers. And I know you guys talked about it earlier, the Buehler, they're winning games with him on the mound, but he has not been good. He got racked by the Diamondbacks last time he faced him. I just don't have faith that he can pick up 4 strikeouts tonight against his Arizona team. Arizona doesn't they have a low whiff rate, low K rate against righties. So we're going to go with Walker Buehler under 3.5 strikeouts. Best bet tonight in baseball.
Very good. There's also something that you've tracked as well. The game's already in progress, so no good for tonight. But keep an eye on how often the Nationals have walked against opposing starters. Yeah, that's, I think, specifically when Wood is in the lineup, though.
Yeah, and it's 2-plus times. 23 of the past 26 games for Washington, including 12 straight. They got Christopher Sanchez tonight, who actually walked 8 batters in his past 2 starts. So maybe they get him on him struggling a bit with that. But Washington keeps finding ways to walk. They may not win, but they're walking.
Yeah, very good. Kevin, pleasure. Dynamite as always. Thank you for the time. Best of luck tonight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Love those stats. Love the info. Join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on X at Rogers Picks. Up next, we'll get into our best bets with in-pocket plays and follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
We're back, baby. We got a game tonight. NFL is here. Giants under 7.5 wins. At Caesars Will Hill, longest touchdown from scrimmage. 95.5 yards under. And will a quarterback throw for over 500 and a half yards? Last guy to do it, Kirk Cousins on that Thursday night game, no, minus 115.
That was 2 years ago?
Yeah. I think it's 20 quarterbacks have done it. Something like that in the history of the game. It's kind of hard to do.
That is, yeah.
And you got to be throwing the whole game as well. So under with that for some season-long props. Tonight, will Kenny Pickett have a touchdown pass on the first drive plus 550? Will there be a score in the first 3.5 minutes of the game plus 750? Any team scores 30 points, 4-1. Both teams score 3 touchdowns, 11-1. With some funky props tonight for the Hall of Fame game. Good luck, everyone.
You want to get involved at all or no?
I don't mind first game sloppy. Could be, Carson Beck first score, first 3 minutes of the game, plus 750.
Carolina's a one-point favorite. I'm double-checking right now because it appears as if we might have a couple of – yeah, we do. 1.5 out there, FanDuel and DK. Total's down to 33.5, touched 36.5 earlier in the week. Why is Carolina favorite?
Beck and Slovis, I guess.
Yeah, Canales was awful last year and doesn't care.
I got a veteran, Owen Pickett. See how long he goes, and I know it's, the second half could be something with Slovis against Haynes King for extended period of time, but that's...
I kind of want the first-year coach on a bad team.
Yeah.
To get the troops kind of rallied up a little bit.
Good point. Mentioned it earlier. It's 61% the last 5 years.
Yeah, against the guy who has an abysmal track record here. The one thing that concerns me here full game would be Haynes King.
Yeah, I that's where I agree with Joe Osborne. If it's Carolina, it's first half. Because it's Pickett against Beck.
Oh, see, I'd be concerned full game because I don't want to go against King. That's the kind of guy that I want to be on in the preseason. You know what I'm saying? And Beck could be a disaster. Don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's fun they have props, though. Good job by Caesars to put these up.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I'm not crying, pointing out, having a discussion. That's all we're doing. 0-for-4 with the ladder props last night with Drew Anderson. Lost 1.6 units on that last night. For those, by the way, who are tuning in about the ladder props, and you may be unfamiliar with this, you're not making the same unit size bet. So, for example... the math on this here.
Yep.
The Drew Anderson 4+ Ks was plus 179. Let's say you put 100 on that to win $179. Most people, you're not going to put 100 then on 5+ Ks at plus 425. Because if you lose that one and then you win the one, to me, you're only going to be up $79. And then if you put 100 at 11-1, you miss that, you're down then. So you need to stagger them accordingly when you go based on... The ladder props in general. And that was, he had zero. That one was not fun. New bets here. I bet the Guardians the other day might be on the wrong team. I guess I'm anti-White Sox here.
It's 11-0 Tigers, top of the ninth. Still bad.
Give me the Tigers to win the Central at 8-1. I have them at plus 790 to make the playoffs. I'm adding 8-1 to win the division.
Easy schedule the rest of the way. No doubt. You want to do, we got field goal props tonight. I didn't do that.
What do you have?
Come on. Both teams to make 2+ field goals plus 250. Both to make 3+ 18-1.
You have longest field goal of the game. I will be impressed if you can find that one.
Dad, I don't have. Why not?
Because actually,
Teams to make a 30. We're back, baby. Both teams to make a 33. I don't have that either.
I would be intrigued early on here about longest field goal in preseason games because that's something where, it's 4th and 6.
Oh, absolutely.
Young
Little
kicker.
Aubrey.
Let's see if he's got a 58-yarder in him. Get out there, kid. You want to know about that in the preseason.
This is absolutely who gives a rat's ass or let's see what the kid's made of.
Sure.
Go out there and try one from 70. And that's moved, by the way, at Caesars. That was 8-1. It's now 5-1.
To hit a 70?
Will a kicker make a 70-yard field goal?
I can't believe we're actually talking about this now, but the number for the longest field goal of the entire regular season is sitting at 66.5.
God.
Doesn't it make you want to go under?
Wow. No. Not with these guys.
The legs are too good now?
Yeah. Especially how Dallas can treat Aubrey.
Yeah, but it's got to be the perfect... I know.
Football season's here. Sharp money already moving. Here's how the sharp play sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from 4 major books. Thousands of sharp bettors and pro syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model, and the receipts, every play logged, every result public. Go back to 2011, live log since 2021. No one else in the industry runs one. Most records can't survive it. Sharp plays record gets audited daily. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. The daily Mr. Poison tweets get the plays on Telegram as well. Follow it all and follow the Sharp Money at sharpplays.com.
Are we watching two last place teams this year tonight? How about that one?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Hmm. You said earlier that you're high in Atlanta.
Yes, they're way too low. 6.5, come on. There's too much talent on that team.
Here's one thing that concerns me overall in this division. And I'm part of one team anyway, and that is the Saints. There's a lot of hype about the Saints. I don't like being on the team that has the most hype. Like, there's no way I'm going to be on the Giants, but I'm not going to be anyway based on their schedule, and they have way too much hype anyway.
Their odds are similar. I'd much rather have Kellen Moore than Salah for Coach of the Year, though. Come on.
And here's another team. I don't think I have heard one positive thing about the Buccaneers this year at this
point.
That
is true. That is true.
And I am not look, I'm not there yet, and that actually makes me want to go the other way and say that they can be. They didn't win it last year, but they can get back to winning the division this year. And Mayfield we were having the discussion on the show last year, late September. We thought he's the MVP of the league. Now that was...
Well, he got hurt.
At that point.
Yep.
Sure. Didn't sustain it for the entire year. And now he doesn't have Mike Evans, obviously. Vita Vea wants out, but that's why you're getting all of this, the Buccaneers going to suck. I don't want to be in the same camp. That's very... That's a very public opinion right now to have.
They're treating Atlanta like they won three games. They tied for the division lead. All those teams were 8-9.
Right.
I mean,
here's another conversation, Paulie.
They certainly upgraded big time at coach.
Here's why I can't poo-poo the idea of the Texans winning the AFC, despite the total unknown going into the year with C.J. Stroud.
Good news on Dell.
Yeah, yeah. Defense might be better than last year. Going to be the best in football, I would think. Who else is that good in the AFC? Now, there are a bunch of good teams. I'm talking about, elite teams. We all thought Baltimore was going to be elite last year. They were not. The Chiefs' reign of being elite. I mean, yes, last year, the Mahomes injury, they were not a good football team last year. And the year before that, they won every game by one score. I don't think the Chiefs are as good as what... It's just Mahomes is back. They're going to win 13 games. Don't think it's going to happen.
People are sleeping on Denver.
I agree with that.
The schedule's brutal, but most people are picking them third place in that division. What was Chernoff's case for the Chargers? You remember?
He loves McDaniel coming in, OC, and the offensive line. The offensive line. I think we had a conversation. I'm trying to think now. I think it was that they are basically the key to how far they're going to go. Because they were out the entire year last year, and Herbert had to run for his life.
And like Sal Pell said earlier, and the Bills are on the clock here. I mean, it's put up or shut up time for Josh Allen.
Right.
And I can't believe the price on Brady for Coach of the Year. I mean, you're walking into a great situation.
What do they have to do?
No kidding. He's got to win 15, 14. How many games he has to win?
That's the thing, right? Let's say they win 12 games, and doesn't Josh Allen probably win the MVP, or he's right there to win it? Are they going to win both awards? Does Brady get the credit? Or is that going to go all... Mm-hmm. Josh Allen gets more credit than any player in the league. I just think the AFC is wide open.
Where are you at with Jacksonville?
I'm okay. I'm lukewarm.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not in love with them. Definitely need to see more from Lawrence overall.
They were great in a regular season down the stretch. Who can forget that game at Denver? Blew them out. Whatever they wanted offensively. And then Colin refused to run the ball in the playoff loss.
I can say it. I can't prove it. They absolutely blew that game against Buffalo. And I think that... this is what I can't prove. I think they were going to beat New England last year in the playoffs. I think and I said at the time, that's the team that New England didn't want to play. The team they actually didn't want to play was Houston, but Stroud was so bad that he gave him the game anyway. But I the Patriots to me are not coming out of the AFC again this year. The Bills, I mean, they've never done it. Why does this year have to be their year? Not there with the Ravens. I want to like the Bengals, but my God, the defense is going to be bad again.
Yeah, injuries always.
The line play is not going to be great with that team yet again. All right, that's it for us. Great job by the entire crew behind the scenes. As always, stay tuned. VSiN Prime Time. 4 hours of live betting with the first football game of the season. It's back, baby. You're going to get full reaction tomorrow from Jensen and Dave Ross as well. VSiN by the book, 7 a.m. Eastern. Good luck.